You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.
They just love it when the music comes on. You feel all powerful and strong when you're doing talk show radio or any kind of host on television. Hey, everybody, what's up with my kindreds out there? Yes, it's a lot going on as usual. Don't be in dismay. You're going to be fine. We'll be fine. Everybody that's doing the right thing. And the right thing, we don't know what the right thing is. The right thing is something that is not against other people and certainly not against oneself. So let's just go with that, because there's all kinds of people, all kinds of places and things and situations and circumstances that we all are working through, learning, growing, and moving forward. First of all, let's say a shout out to our sponsor, Kevin Pike, senior real estate and probate specialist, Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. He will take care of every need you have. And I mean that, you guys. He will stand tall for you in whatever kind of situation. He is there. Senior real estate and probate specialist, Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. I'd also like to shout out to one of my groups. You guys, I was rolling through YouTube and I just came across, it's an old song, but you are one of my favorites still. Black Pumas, all my favorite colors. I love that song because to me it describes everybody I know, all the different circles of people I've met, all the different cultures I've been privy to knowing, learning from. They've learned from me, we've learned from each other, and I just love that song, all my favorite colors. My brothers and my sisters, all my favorite colors. Anyway, and congratulations to all of the Emmy 2025 nominees coming out of Netflix, Hulu, Apple TV+, Apple, FX, HBO. I give a special shout out to Kathy Bates. Girl, she's 70. She's either 77 years old or in her 70s, kicking butt up for a nom with CBS, Matlock, HBO Max, and everybody, congratulations. I know you've worked very hard, and there's a lot working against TV, film, just with funding and movies and all of that. So I take pride in congratulating you. Congratulations. Today, I have the wonderful honor, opportunity of having a youngin on my show. I love it. I love when young people stand up, and they're the future, so it makes me feel kind of secure, you know, like, yeah. You know, we've got some people out there really paying attention. So today, for our honored guest, I have the exceptionally brilliant writer, director, actor, performer, and old soul, winner of the LA Film Festival Best Indie Short 2025, Taylor Blackwell. Bring your brilliant self onto my screen and get on the screen. And let's talk. We were talking about you being born September 1st, Virgo, mutable energy all over the place, fitting in anywhere which you can get in, and talented and brilliant. So you're grounded, you know, and you're focused on who you are. And we're going to talk about why you decided. First of all, I want to know who influenced you as a child to be fully expressive, like you're fully expressive. I don't meet many people that are fully expressive. Usually, they're hiding behind a parental thing or something someone has made them into. But I noticed that you are fully expressive. I saw every aspect of your personality in full blown because I'm paying attention. Okay, those who are paying attention can see that. And I want to know, you know, why you decided to jump in head first. Who encouraged you to have such an expressive personality? And real quick, how you ended up in Burt Reynolds' masterclass in West Palm Beach, Jupiter, Florida.
Thank you so much for having me. And I really love that question. So thank you. Yeah. I am lucky. I have amazing parents. My dad, when I was a kid, was in local TV news broadcast and did radio as well, and still does a lot of that stuff today. So he has a strong personality on camera and off, I'd say, as well. And my mom will make friends everywhere she goes. She talks to everyone and is very much herself. And then I just have amazing grandparents too, who are always so loving and encouraged me to be creative and pursue the things I was and continue to pursue. And I was in, like you mentioned, I was a student of Burt Reynolds. I was in his master acting class when I was 10 years old, and he was my mentor till he passed away. When I was about 19, I think when he passed.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So I've been lucky to have really good people in my corner all these years.
So the wonderful thing is that you have taken on the task of bringing Judy Tenuta back to us. You brought her back. You have just successfully conquered directing, writing the It Happened, the Judy Tenuta story. I did not know that's who they were talking about until I went and said, that's Judy Tenuta. I know who that is. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, blah, blah, blah. Somebody's doing her story. So what made you, as a 27-year-old girl, woman, tackle something like not only a person that is on the other side, but her story and the fact that she was ahead of herself, because not only was she brilliant, she was ahead of herself, and you're representing her and repositioning her now. Tell us about that. What got you? What happened?
I, as a creative, I just, there's so many people that I look up to who I feel paved the way for me to be able to do what I'm currently doing. And Judy is one of those people. She was so clever. She had such a strong and unique voice and sense of humor. She was an accordion player. I'm an accordion player. So I was just very drawn to her as this personality. And from an acting standpoint, I thought, man, what an incredible character I would get to play if I got to make a project about her. And I feel like we have a resemblance, so there's part of that too. But the wheels were turning in my brain of, I feel like there's something here. I felt a connection to her, and I wanted to explore it further. And the more I learned about Judy's life, the more fascinated I was by her and got in touch with her foundation, the Judy Tenuta Legacy, her life partner, Vern Payne. And we were able to make this tribute to her and hopefully continue her legacy in that way.
I really like the depth of your mind at this stage. And you remind me of all creative people that have been, you know, found themselves at an early stage and started developing that brilliant side of you. When it comes to writing, and especially with Tenuta, who did a lot, you guys, for those of you who don't know who Judy Tenuta is, Judy Tenuta, somebody you should research. She was very popular in the 70s. During a time when the field of comedy was very male dominated, it was her, Gilda Radner. They did all of these really, Gilda was more of a soft hit to the toe, but Judy came in with kind of a brash, very direct, very confrontational, but at the same time gave comedy a kind of sexuality. She would wear things like see-through clothing at a time, you know, where, you know, none of the things, a whole different energy, but brought herself in as a kind of a love goddess. So I want to talk to you about when you were writing and really going into all of the different areas that she went into in her personality. How were you able to navigate through all those stages of her career development and how she came to be Judy Tenuta?
I think the start of it was just gathering as much information as I could about her, watching her comedy specials. You mentioned Gilda Radner. That's a great example. She did a comedy special called Women of the Night with Ellen DeGeneres, Paula Poundstone, Rita Redner, and other amazing women as well. And she also won Best Female Comic. I believe she was the first person to ever do that. So she really was a trailblazer in the world of comedy. So watching her comedy specials, watching interviews that she gave, reading the books that she had published, and then as I got further along into the process, then started having conversations with her life partner, with her friends and family. And they also informed the writing process as well, with and giving it a little bit more of a personal touch with their anecdotes. And this film is only 13 minutes long. It's just a, hopefully will leave you wanting more. We can't give someone's entire life story in that span of time, but the idea is to kind of give you a glimmer into her world and her story. And we mostly focus on her from age 10 to then kind of the beginnings of her career in comedy.
Okay. Yeah, they came along when there was the golden age of comedy, where comedy was kind of coming out of, you know, the Charlie Chaplins, I guess, all of those kind of people, and going more into more self-expression, I would say, much like you are now. Now, you grew up at a time that Burt Reynolds would have been still fairly kind of young. His career he would have to be still young enough that he could still teach and mentor in that way, is what I mean. So what did you learn from him? I'm dying to know, what did he teach you? I want to know, what did he teach you?
Yeah, I mean, I forget how old he was when he passed, but even when I met him, you know, he was still somewhat up there.
Premature already.
Yeah, but he was, I mean, throughout his life, till the very, very end, he was reading lines, like, right before he passed away, like, getting ready for a role minutes before he died. So he was a lifelong performer and teacher and creative person as well. I think there are two big takeaways from him, which was, or more than that, but I'll say three. One is that he would tell a lot of stories in his class about his times on set and his times in Hollywood. And that was always so exciting to hear from a very young age. I was very taken by these stories, and I think it got me even more excited about someday having my own stories to tell about being in film and television. And so that passion, he really inspired that in a lot of his students. And then the other big thing too is he'd always say less is more. That and going to what you're saying of like bringing yourself into what you're doing, you don't need to try to fit someone's box or put on added embellishment things that are taking away. If you really just straight stay true to, you know, yourself and the character and the story you're trying to tell, the rest will kind of do the work for you.
Was there any part of Tenuta's personality that resonated with you more than others, or her full-blown personality? Because you do look a lot like her. I looked at him like, okay, now wait a minute, which, especially the one that Harlan said, now wait a minute. I'm like, which one is that? So you do have a lot of her giddy. You have a lot of her, you know, a lot of her energy that she would express on stage. So was there any particular part of her personality that you resonated with more than others?
I liked that she was brazen and would say things that were off the wall. I mean, even today, I think some of the lines that she had in her comedy routines were ballsy and dangerous and you know, maybe even made men uncomfortable in some way.
Yeah, the woman had big balls.
She has a line that we use in the film, how she was on some talk show, I forget which one, and she's sitting with a bunch of women on this, the host of this talk show, and she says, if we sit together long enough, we can all get our cycles at the same time. And I thought that was so funny. So we have a similar moment in the film, but that's, I think, just one example of her bringing herself and her femininity into her comedy.
And she wasn't afraid. I saw her when she started. I think it was, I believe it was Dick Cavett's show. And I could tell that she was growing into Tenuta. She wasn't quite there yet. Of course, she was good enough to be on to do late night TV shows. But she had done, you know, somebody that had followed in Radner's step. I know Radner became famous because of SNL. That put her on the map, period. You know, but they were different in their style, but they both were real stand-up. They were, both of them, I mean, particularly those two comedians, did things that women weren't doing. Like, Gilda Radner had a whole nother kind of personality. It was some crazy woman, you know, and then, but to come back, your girl Judy Tenuta, she was the Venus goddess, you know, and she would flirt with the Pope. You said something about her.
She had both, and that's something that was really what really drew me to her as well, was she could have this angelic, sweet nature to her, and then quickly go a little nuts. And I like that. I mean, turns in comedy are always going to be funny, but it's also, I feel like, the duality of being female, perhaps, and like tapping into these, you know, different sides of yourself. And we don't see like a lot of loud, aggressive is not the right word, but more aggressive women in media in general, let alone at that time. So for this, for Judy to, you know, in this 80s, 90s, have these sides of her where she's being a little bit more, I think was really fun and innovative.
And when you were working, how much, you had to do a lot. Well, you said you were already playing an accordion, so you were already a musician.
Yes.
So you already had that down, which fit, I would think that's a perfect synchronicity, you know, between you two as talent. And then how much work and time did you have to put into learning, you know, learning her energy, how she did things, the way she talked, the way she walked, the way she laughed, you know, cloning some aspect of her personality. How much work was that for you?
It was a lot. I think it was helpful that because I wrote it and was digesting so much of her material through the research and writing process, by the time it came along to start working on the performance, I think a lot of that was already so familiar to me. And then it was just a matter of like really getting the nuances down of how she moves her eyes and how she kind of tilts her head. And I mean, even just like sort of hand movements she does, I really wanted to try to have those moments be truthful and as close to her as I could.
And I love the way that she engaged with her audience.
Me too.
Before the net. I mean, she engaged. She would move down, you know, down into the audience and say things so that the audience would have to like interact and respond back to her, you know. And I like the difference between her being brazen and the kind of things. I will say this briefly. Hip hop is brazen, but it's in a, it can have a darker kind of brazenness where there's no, there's not a balance between the brazen and the lighter part of the brazen. Whereas somebody like Tenuta could say like vagina or something like that, and it would be read in a certain way because of the kind of circumstances she was in, the setting, her ability to relate that in a very, as you would say, angelic kind of way, you know, but still say something like that and people go, did she just say vagina? You know, I read something about she did the vagina monologue. Oh my God. Right. Did she do the vagina monologues?
Yes.
No. Go ahead.
Just agreeing.
Yeah, she did the vagina monologue. But anyway, I wanted to take, now let's go back. When did you form your band, the 10th? And like I was saying before we got on air, I was listening to B.S. Poetry. Is that the name of it?
B.S. Poetry.
Very cool. B.S. Poetry. And I'm like, wow, this is really cool. So.
Thank you.
How did you play off doing the band and then, I'm going to do the Tenuta thing at the same time it happened. And then I'm going to go back to the band and then I'm going to. Still push the band, but I'm also going to be good enough to do all of those things to get my film, my short film, selected as the best indie short film from the LA Film Festival. How did you pull it off? I want to know every detail. Don't skip anything. From the late nights, you had to drink all night and stay up with several friends. I want to hear it all. Go. What's going on?
I think I have times when a certain project is taking more of my focus. So I, as a teenager, kind of at the end of my teen years, I formed a band with my dear friend Harley Quinn Smith, who's also an actress. So we put out an EP and an album with that band that's called The 10th. And then COVID happened and we were all stuck at home. And we had been working towards a second monologue, but we decided let's just go on a little pause. And I then started to explore my own musical project that's just under my name. So I have a band with that project, but it's under the Taylor Blackwell moniker. Feels like pretentious, but that's the word that's coming into my head. So I put out an album that are all original songs that I wrote, and with that backing band as well. And we've played shows together. We're actually going to be playing a show in September, September 2nd at Zebulon in Los Angeles.
The day after your birthday.
The day after my birthday. So it's going to be like a birthday show.
And where is it going to be again? Say it
again. Zebulon.
Zebulon?
In Silver Lake.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's what I was like. Isn't that in Silver Lake? Silver Lake is a really cool area to see bands like that, too, to see bands like yours, the 10th. So how have you been able to prepare? Because you're also going through your adulation and your congratulations for your short film, and you're preparing for your show. So how are you measuring the two of them? What's the demands on your time?
Well, I think now the film is in a place where it's done, where we are waiting to hear back from a bunch of film festivals. We're hoping to take this film as many different festivals around the country, maybe different places around the world. So there's not a whole lot that I'm, aside from talking about it, not a whole lot that I'm doing in regards to the film right now. And then, so having band practice is kind of now at the forefront. So, I feel like it switches every couple months or so. I have something that's a little bit more taking my time. And then after that, something else.
That's fun. And then so when you called Judy Tenuta's people, her foundation, how were you able to get past the guards? Did you say, oh, hi, I'm Taylor.
I made this film in collaboration with a friend of mine named Brett Mata, who's a producer, and he was also our cinematographer. And he is really the reason this film happened, because his company financed it, and he also is a huge fan of Judy's, and so he was instrumental in making this happen. And I had said to him early on, I'd really love to do this with the support of her foundation, and also would love to connect with them just to be able to understand her better in playing her and writing it, etc. So he was able to get in contact with her legacy. And we had just an initial meeting over the phone, over a FaceTime or Zoom, I guess. And we just said, we're really big fans of Judy, and we want to make something that honors her. And we would love for you to be a part of that and to give us your blessing. And that's what ended up happening. And actually, we were able to use her real accordion and her real costumes for this film.
Oh, my gosh.
But that was really a gift as well. Because I mean, those costumes and her accordion were so specific, it'd be quite hard to recreate, especially the accordion that had, she had stickers on it. And
you did. I thought I saw the colored stickers.
Yeah, she would tape, it was pretty brilliant, tape little notes to herself on top of the accordion, almost like a set list, where she would it's not a great reference, because that would indicate she would do it in order of her notes, but she would have little talking points on these little sheets of paper that she'd say, whatever was topical at the time, like talk about this, talk about that, that sort of thing.
That's interesting. She's certainly an interesting character. I'm telling you, when I saw who it was, I'm like, I know who that is. Because, I didn't remember the name right away. I'm like, where have I heard the name? And then I saw, I'm like, oh, wow, who can forget Judy Tenuta?
Yeah.
And the fact that you went and brought her back to us, and, you're letting her stand up. Let's go back to your music now. You said that you started this with your friend Harley Smith Quinn.
Harley Quinn.
I knew I would get it back, because I just heard the name. I'm like, okay, I think I remember all of them. Harley Smith Quinn.
Harley Quinn Smith. Harley Quinn
Smith. But anyway, how did you two come together, and are you still involved together? Do you still work together on different projects, and what led you two to be together? It's difficult to find someone that resonates with your same mind, and their vision is the same, and you're still together, and your visions are still in sync. You know, how did all of that happen?
I had met her at first at a friend's Sweet 16 when we were about that age. I think I was probably 17, and Harley's slightly younger than me, so I think she was probably 16. And we had been like kind of loose friends, and then like more so like in the same friend circle. But then around probably being 18, 19 years old, started to become really close friends and went to see a concert together, and were both really magnetized by these performers we saw. We went to a punk show together, and it was my first punk show. And I had always throughout the years said, oh, I'd love to be in a band. And I liked the idea of that, but I could never really find someone to do that with me. And same thing with Harley. So we said to each other after that show, we should have a band, but we weren't joking. We actually both meant it and started writing songs together. And then it kind of snowballed from there. So we've been on this very long hiatus since COVID. Mm-hmm. Yes. But I'm hopeful that at some point we'll bring the project back. And where we've both been like pursuing different styles of music since then. She has a band called Cinnamon, and I've been working on solo stuff. But I think at some point, I was with her last night having dinner. So all of our parents love the band, and they're always pushing us to, they're always like, when are you gonna bring that project back? Yeah. So I think the stars will align at some point.
I'm telling you, you've got a good sound. I was impressed. I'm like, okay. You know, because some people will be really good at one thing, but, you know, they're like, oh, well, I'm bored with doing TV and acting, so I think I'll try guitar playing or whatever out, you know. And it's just like, no. Some people, and then there are people like yourself that can really add a lot more flavor to a great many aspects of talent. You know, and you're bubbly and you're fun and you're energetic and you're unboring. And I could tell what I love about you and you coming on to our show, in particular my show, is that you're yourself. I don't feel any of the, you know, the frenzy to be other people, you know, and I like that. And it gives you a certain energy because you're like that. Have you ever heard of an artist called Lily Allen?
Oh, yeah.
Lily Allen, you remind me of Lily Allen when she first came out. She's was like really, English, she's from right? Europe. Yeah, she's a singer. She has all those little kind of happy, you know, songs. And then they have these other life-turning experiences written in them. But we haven't had a fresh face like hers since then, which is why I said something about you. Everything has been leaning more towards hip-hop and things like that. But we haven't had really... And in the pocket style where everybody can say, that's kind of fun and cheeky and it's cute and it's girls and it's mixed men and the whole thing. So I think you should follow that. I like that for you. I like that energy around you. So back to your music writing.
Yeah.
Do you write, arrange, produce all your own stuff? I know you partner with your friend. Who produces? Do you guys hire in a producer? You go into a studio, you do it out of your home. You know, how do you do that?
So for the 10th, which was my first band with Harley, we were writing most of those songs together, or I would write the lyrics and she would help with the chord progression, or I'd write one verse, she'd write a second verse, that sort of thing. So that was very collaborative. And we worked with a producer named Bruce Witkin on that project. And then for my solo stuff, I've been working with a producer named Davey Warsop. And he's in a band called Sharp Shock, and he produced my first album, which is called In Memory of Haroldine, and that's available online anywhere you listen to music. Yeah. And those songs are all songs I've written solo.
Okay, so you are really good. I mean, you get in there and knock it out. I like that. You have a very. I mean, I'm saying that because I've been in the industry. I'm a mature industry professional. And I've been in, so I watch artists come and go. I came out of the big record labels, the William Morris, all of those companies. And I ended up on this side because I was an artist myself, but gave a lot to other artists. Like a lot of people in the industry are artists and they give to other artists. Look, I'm not going to get on the road and go be a singer, but they are, you know, and you support them. But it's really good when you can write your own things and your delivery is very clean and clear. It's like, I woke up this morning, I wanted a biscuit for breakfast. I put some butter on the toast and I thought of you, you asshole or something. I'm like, now those are real. It's kind of like the blues where you write on really what your true feelings are. You're not trying to doctor it up or anything. You're just like, look, I woke up this morning. I said, screw you. I put toast in the bug form, you know, whatever you're going to say. And it was kind of like that kind of writing, which I assure you is very fresh. Now let's go and talk a little bit about Resident Alien. And your friend, is it Alan Tudyk?
Yes.
Yes, you were talking about him and how great he is. How do you two know each other? How did he get involved and how did you get into Resident Alien?
Yeah, Resident Alien is a show on Sci-Fi and USA Network and then has now had a really big following on Netflix too, which is awesome. And Alan Tudyk is the lead character of that show. He plays Harry Vanderspiegel. I play Liza Vanderspiegel, his daughter. And I joined the show season two and then have been in the subsequent seasons of the show. So through filming that show and playing Alan's daughter, we became very close friends. And then when it came time for me to work on this film about Judy Tenuta, I was looking to cast someone to play the Pope because she would often say in her comedy that she was dating the Pope. She has a song called The Pope Song, which we recreate in the film. And also you can watch that right now on my YouTube channel, which is just my name, Taylor Blackwell. Subscribe. And so Alan and I are in that song and he's got his Pope hat on.
I saw it.
He had known about the project and he's been very supportive of me as both an actor and as a writer, and he writes and directs himself. And I asked him if he would play the Pope and he agreed. So that was we were very lucky to have him be a part of that because he's hysterical and just also a great human being.
That's what you want. I got the acting, you know, and there are a lot of people, good actors and stuff, but you want the great human being part of it. That's what makes it all real and makes it all wonderful with that to happen. I was laughing when you brought up the Pope because I believe you were saying that Judy Tenuta said something about she dated the Pope to get closer to God. Exactly. I thought that was hysterical.
Yeah, I say that line in the film too.
I know. Like if she was going to have any opportunity, whatever, to get closer to heaven, it would definitely have to be through the Pope. So I thought that was a very interesting, little political, but very sweet way to throw her little politics in there. I like
it. Yeah. Well, she grew up Catholic and went to an all-girls Catholic school as a child. I think some of that humor and perhaps guilt had seeped its way into her comedy.
Some kind of way it got in there, huh?
Yeah.
So do you think, in bringing that up, do you think a lot of, because I know people that were Catholic and, you know, they left because a lot of it was strict and things like that. Do you think that came off and in through that energy was felt through her personality when she delivered her work on stage?
I think so. I, like you said, Catholicism can be so strict that, I mean, I've seen it in people in my personal life who come from a strict religious upbringing, no matter what that religion is. And yes. Then they want to rebel against that as they get older. And it makes them maybe go a little bit of an extra mile to overcompensate for a youth that's more restrictive. Mm-hmm. So perhaps, if not to psychoanalyze Judy, but perhaps there was a little bit of that where also she was something we talk about in the film too, is she grew up with 8 siblings and I grew up with 3 siblings and already that going on in the house. It's sometimes hard to make your voice heard. So I think perhaps too, there was a part of her trying to find her voice within her large family and then like going
the extra mile in her comedy as she got older, where now she has this platform to speak and share her voice finally, and let me really go for it.
Do you think she had to really carve out a path? Because I remember when I first saw her, I didn't get it right away. I really didn't know what she was talking about. I'm like, okay, now what are they laughing at? You know, do you think she had to carve a path? And then as she became more and more popular, people really were able to relate to her brand of comedy. Cause I know she went on the road with George Carlin,
right? You know,
people like that. What do you think about how she was able to deliver in a time and feel safe? I mean, feel safe that she could be herself on stage like that without getting booed, or like Lenny Bruce, someone like that. He really got booed off stage, you know, and things like that. Right. They put him out a couple of times, but they didn't bother her. Do you think it's because she was a woman, or back to my question, how do you think she found her path in that?
Well, I think in the same way that I'm inspired by Judy and people that came before me, there, I'm sure were the Lenny Bruces of the world who paved the way for comedians like Judy and made it so that we could have a little bit more freedom of expression on stage. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's a part of it, but she definitely had to find her way, and I would imagine probably wasn't hitting right away. She went into this career path wanting to be an actress. She wanted to be Goldie Hawn, and she was going to these auditions where there were 500 other girls, and she felt that starting to bring her accordion into her performance and starting to bring more of herself into her performance would be a way for her to set herself apart, and then also to have self-expression in a way where sometimes if you're reading someone else's lines, there's less self-expression than when you're given your own material.
And I'm surprised they didn't, I mean, I don't want to put this. I am surprised, well, I shouldn't say I'm surprised, but I'm still surprised that Joan Rivers also had a really hard time getting into comedy. And I'm always surprised that they didn't do more for Judy Tenuta. And I'm really hoping and very wishful that this film will put more, not only more attention on her, bring her more, you know, of her flowers. It will also shed light on these trials and tribulations of what female comedians have had to go through. You know, can you imagine being around those men and you're being a woman and you know, the way that she would dress, I'm sure that there was a lot, if she was sitting up here with us, she'd be like, oh yeah, Taylor, I went through this. I had to overcome this obstacle. I had to do this situation. And what I found also interesting before I announce our sponsor again is that she and Gilda Radner both passed away from ovarian cancer, both of them. Which I find interesting, and I relate cancer in a whole spiritual kind of way. I think it has to do with what women experience, and they hold on and retain energy, blah, 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 blah. That's the way I think. I'm not saying anybody else. But I thought that was so interesting that they both battled that, you know, that same energy and coming out of all of those difficult circumstances, but laughing about it and finding a way to make it fun. And finding a way to make it so little Taylor could come up at 27 and make a film about it after she's gone. You know, that makes it all worth it. Let's announce our sponsor again really quick before we get back and talk some more to Taylor about her brilliant mind and how she thinks. Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. He's a senior real estate, and look at that cute face, and probate specialist. He will stand by you. I am serious about that. He will stand by and do or die for whatever you need in your real estate matters. Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. Now back to Taylor. Judy Tenuta was also very, very, I don't know if she was close, but I know that she really branded. And she really got a lot of accolades from the LGBTQIA plus community.
Yes.
I know that she was one of the first people to stand up and be firm about, I'm not afraid to identify with this, that, or whatever I want to identify. It's not up to you. It is up to I and me, myself. And what did you go into the film knowing that? Did you get any kind of backlash, or are we in different times that we feel safe to say whatever we are, whoever we want to be, and et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, no backlash so far, but yeah, hopefully we're evolving in some way. But it, yeah, I mean, she had such a connection with the gay men. And we have actually, I found footage of her at like a men's, like a gay leather show. Like she, you know, she was really supportive of that community. It played a lot of shows specifically to audiences of gay men, and, you know, could just have a good laugh with people. And I think going back to what you're saying of like being a woman in a male dominated field, knowing what it's like to be an outsider in a way, like she was, you know, really, she was quirky and different. And I think would even by today's standards be, you know, unusual. And so I think when you are that, you know, you can empathize with other communities that are also maybe different. I mean, not really. We're all kind of the same, but, you know, treated different, perhaps.
Well, they're unconventional. You know, I'm unconventional. That's why I do this kind of show and have these kind of people on my show. I like unconventional. You know, at some point, you know, I'm sure Judy, I'm sure yourself or anybody else that decides to do things and go their own way and carve their own path, you know, you don't want to fit in. You like being the kind of person that can say, I'm myself. I'm authentic. It doesn't get any more authentic than Taylor Blackwell doing Judy Tenuta. It doesn't get any more authentic than that. It doesn't get any more than Alan Tudyk. It doesn't get any more authentic than, you know, it happened. It did happen. The woman existed. She was alive. She did this. And we want people to know what she did. And I think that by her being affiliated with that, that also shines light into a community that gets downtrodden like all anybody else that people don't know. I hate it. I swear. It really bothers me that our minds are not evolved and educated. I don't mean by books. I mean educated on emotional and spiritual levels, that we understand that all of these people, all of these things, all of these situations are a part of the human grand experience. There is not one that needs to be taken out, gotten rid of, except for the bad people that go around shooting, killing, and doing things that are against the law. Other than that, it is a free, beautiful array of flowers, beautiful array of kind, cultured, different artistic, autistic, all kinds of things that we get to experience because we're simply human. And I love that. And I really do get kind of upset when people try to put people in a box and you're projecting your own limitations on other people and you don't know any. Do you know one person from the LGBTQIA community? A lot of your prominent doctors, attorneys, all kinds of people that we may or may not know are a part of that same community.
Yeah.
And so you have to remember that, you know, Judy Tenuta stood for a lot of things. And again, I think and feel like you are very, very brave to tackle such a multidimensional talent that, in my opinion, did not get the kind of flowers that she's going to get this time around. Trust me, your film's going to do very well because people are going to be surprised again that you're so young in tackling it. And, you know, I know in your mind, you might think you're old, but to us old people, you are young. You're very young. You're like a kid, you know. To us, people that are over 50, you know, like you're young, you know. But at the same time, there'll be people all over the world that will embrace that you decided to expose this really brilliant talent and that she's a woman. She's a woman. And she was doing all these things at a time when women just didn't do those things. So I looked at the trailer. I noticed the trailer was a teaser. Mm-hmm. Where can we find out more about you, the bands that you are in, that you'll be a part of? Also say some more about Zebulon and Silver Lake, you know, so people will know where to go. It'll be standing rooms only, so you better get there.
Yes, let's pack the house.
Yeah, it will be. We're packing the house, so it'll be standing room only. So get your tickets to go, Taylor. Tell us.
And it's a free show. So it'll be more
than standing room only.
Yeah. Well, the best thing you can do is just follow my Instagram, which is The Musical Mushroom. My TikTok is the same name. And you can subscribe to my YouTube channel. You like that one?
I love that. I like mushrooms. So I'm just like you said, the musical mushroom. That's funny.
Because I made the name when I was a teenager and didn't even know what a magical mushroom is.
But if you were in the mushrooms come in some very whimsical type styles and shapes and forms. So that's why I think it's funny you said the musical mushroom.
Yes. So
that's your IG. Do you have a Facebook page?
Yes, that's just Taylor Blackwell. So all these different social media sites.
Everything. And
also my website, taylorblackwell.net. I post updates about the film and other personal projects that I'm working on or TV and shows that are TV and films that I appear in as well. I am playing Zebulon September 2nd in Los Angeles, free show.
Day after her birthday, so you got to go out and celebrate with her.
Yes, and then I'll say too that if anyone watching this is connected to a film festival in some capacity and you think there might be interest in screening our film, like I said earlier, we want to get this movie in front of as many people as possible. So you can also just email me directly, which is tayblackwell@gmail.com, and reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you.
Is T-A-Y-T-A-Y Blackwell? TAYBLACKWELL@gmail.com. Yeah, I definitely have someone. I'll talk to Harlan and copy you in the email to put you in touch with you. But anyway, yeah, anyone out there, it's a brilliant film. I love the teaser. I was kind of upset because you didn't let us see more. But I know how it is, and I wanted to see some more, but I did. I watched a lot on Judy Tenuta in the past 3 or 4 days. As soon as Harlan told me you were coming onto the show, I really, really bit and really got in there. And then I watched you as well, so I'm happy that I did because I didn't know you were a performer and a singer, and you're just adorable. And please, 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 from a mature person as you're moving forward, please continue doing what you're doing. It's so important.
Thank you.
It's so important to have these kinds of, this kind of music, these kinds of things that people can really relate to. You know, they're dark, but they're light. They're things that everybody goes through. We're living life here, people. You know, there's, who said it was going to, you know, it's like a schoolroom war. And I love that you've made it palatable and made it that we can have it on a palette and paint it in any way we want to. And I like that you've been able to do that in your work and your style.
I wanted to say too, I was a student of Jill Sobule, who's a great musician and one of my favorite songwriters, and she passed away not too long ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
But she's a great inspiration to me, and I mentioned to you earlier, I've been lucky to have a lot of people who have been supportive of me, who I've also gotten to learn from. So I hope to continue Jill's work and Judy's work and other people through my own creative process.
You're doing a great job. I'm very inspired. That inspires me to keep going. You know, you get a certain age, like, well, I guess I don't give up.
No, never.
It inspires me and it inspires other people that are watching the show to keep going, like, hey, that in your, you know, and you're beautiful and you have a great spirit. I can throw your spirit from across the screen. So. You don't have to worry. You're going to do very well. I'm telling you, I can feel it. You're going to do very well. Thanks for coming on my show. For all of you out there, don't forget me, Osiris_Mounir_ the painter. That's why my nails are short, because I paint and it's a waste of money and time to get them done. And then don't forget, I'm all over the internet. All you have to do is Google my name. I'm only the one name, Osiris Mounir, in the entertainment industry that does something called 15 Minutes of Show. So don't get me confused. And don't forget, let's give a shout out to Sam Hassan, our wonderful engineer and strong leader of LA Talk Radio Live. Hey, Sam, thank you for letting us shine. I love you. I like you for who you are, that you stand strong and you become firm and believe in yourself every day. And I love you because you're wonderful human beings out there doing your best to do your thing and to help other people do theirs. Don't forget to smile. It works wonders. And we'll see you next week, next time. I love you. Bye-bye. Bye, Taylor.
Bye.
You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.